It is now 20 minutes before 9 Central African Time. This is Under the Radar on Radio Islam International. The state of national disaster has been renewed now every month on the 15th since March 2020. And among the things that it does through related legislation, restricting the number of people who can gather indoors or outdoors, imposing curfews, and in the process costing businesses millions of rands in the process, as well as affecting the normal freedoms of South Africans. To explore why is it that South Africa is still in a national state of disaster so many months and so many years down the line, and what can South Africa do to come out of the state of national disaster and alternative ways of dealing with the effects of the pandemic, we speak to Director of Accountability Now, Advocate Paul Hoffman. Paul, thank you so much for joining us this evening, and good evening.
Good evening to you, Ibrahim. It's my pleasure. Good evening to your listeners as well.
There seem to be, in my reading of news developments, particularly come, in the last week or two, there seem to be a greater expectation that the National Command Council and the minister would actually decide for once after such a long period of time to do away with the current national state of disaster. There was a kind of optimism building, and it seems as if all of that has been dashed, and yet again the ball has been kicked to touch. Am I correct in assessing the general feel amongst experts, first and foremost, who health experts who have been advising the government, provincial leadership, then business leadership, and then obviously the rank and file in South Africa, that people really feel in the street is that this should go now?
Yes, I think that the use of the National Disaster Management Act for such a protracted period is actually an abuse of power. That act was designed to deal with disasters like floods, fires, droughts. The parliamentarians who debated it certainly didn't think that it would apply in the case of a sudden and unexpected pandemic of the kind that has racked the world since COVID-19 reared its ugly head so many years ago. The proper approach ought to have been to declare a state of emergency. But our government is very keen to exercise what it calls hegemonic control over the levers of power in society. And this legislation has been used and abused in order to put this National Command Council in charge of so many aspects of the lives and the economic activity of the people of South Africa, that it is really devolving into an abuse of power. And the oversight functions of Parliament ought to be used. Parliament can even pass a law that amends the disaster management legislation. That's not happening because there is a lack of political will to do so. But certainly your assessment of what is happening in the minds of the experts, in the minds of those who are seeking to make a living in South Africa, in the minds of those who are investing in South Africa, is that this has gone on long enough and that no rational basis for further extending the state of disaster when everybody knows what the pandemic is about. Everybody ought to be making arrangements to get vaccinated, and everybody ought to be getting on with the rest of their lives in a society in which human rights are protected and respected by government. And government does not use a pandemic for an ulterior purpose of the kind described by, of course, as Ahmed Dlamini Zuma the minute the pandemic began.
And I want you to expand on that, this allegation of an ulterior motive, Advocate Hoffman. What exactly did the minister say? And yeah, tangible evidence on the ground.
She gave a media conference in the early months of the pandemic. It was April or May 2020. And in the course of that media conference, she said that the pandemic presented the opportunity for radical economic transformation and for the rolling out of plans that the government had had for a very long time and had never brought to fruition. She even talked about the possibility of what she calls class suicide, which is a little bit of Francis Fanon's fantasy, but that is what informs her thinking in relation to being the de facto Prime Minister of South Africa because of her position as Cogta Minister in South Africa. You can go onto the politics website and put her name in and you'll pick up exactly what she said.
So in terms of then how we've seen perhaps that vision translating itself out in terms of extra control over citizens or restructuring of the economy, looting of resources during this period, beyond the normal headlines, is there clear evidence that this has been happening? How has it benefited her? How has it benefited a particular clique during this period of time?
Yes, I think that the tenderpreneurism of the Jacob Zuma presidency has transmogrified itself into the COVID-preneurism of the Ramaphosa presidency, and that too many people in positions of power have simply used the pandemic as a way to enrich themselves. The state capture phenomenon that is the subject matter of the Zondo Commission report is not a historical event that happened sometime in the past. It is an ongoing disease in South Africa, and it's really the job of Parliament as the duly elected representatives of the people of South Africa to exercise oversight over the executive branch of government, which would include, of course, as Ahmed Dlamini Zuma, and to hold the executive to account for the way in which it is behaving. It cannot carry on indefinitely with a lockdown or a national state of disaster when the disaster is actually history and the pandemic can be dealt with by taking precautionary measures, whether it is keeping a social distance, wearing a mask, taking a vaccine. All of that is not new to South Africans. What government should be doing is educating the population into the way of proper vaccination and making vaccinations available to each and every individual in the country so that we can put the pandemic into the past and get on with rebuilding in the wake of its ravages.
Advocate, to come out of the state of national disaster, it's been suggested that other legislation should be used to be able to regulate matters such as mask wearing, social distancing, vaccination that you've just spoken about. And according to some pieces that I've read, to be able to create such regulations, they need to be published in the government gazette at least 3 months before commencement. That's one issue. And the other would be that the government would have to have longer-term planning for future pandemics to be able to, deal with this kind of eventualities, which was certainly not in place when it came to COVID. Now, are we seeing the government at least thinking in that line, because it's probably it's not going to be an immediate switch over? These kind of plannings and these kind of regulations need to be in place to be able to make the shift.
Yes, no, it is true that if the law is going to be changed, the process involves public participation and publication of a bill and a debate about the bill, and the bill going through the process of the legislature and being approved by the president, and then, as you suggest, published in the Government Gazette. And that doesn't happen overnight. But certainly the ending of the state of emergency, the state of disaster, is something that can be affected by the stroke of a pen. Each month, the decision is taken to extend by a further month, and in some month, eventually, they are going to come to the conclusion not to extend. And what needs to happen now is that pressure needs to be brought to bear by Parliament on the executive, and the accountability for extending unnecessarily has to be exacted. If there is a rational basis for extending the duration of the state of disaster, then the minister should explain what that rational basis is. If there isn't, then the decision to extend is an irrational decision, and it is invalid because of the constitutional requirement that laws and conduct in South Africa have to be consistent with the Constitution. Part of the Constitution is the rule of law, and the rule of law says that arbitrary and capricious decision-making is irrational and therefore contrary to the rule of law. That's the avenue that Parliament needs to pursue with a view to finding out why it is that we just seem to be getting indefinite renewals again and again of the state of disaster.
There's the argument put through here in editorial in Business Day just a few days, basically 2 days ago, saying that lifting the national state of disaster may well be premature. The argument being it's dangerous to regard the pandemic as over, especially when there's such a low vaccination rate in South Africa.
Yes, now I've said already that getting more people educated to the point where they take up the offer of the vaccines is certainly one of the tasks of government. But it's a question of
unclear nature of the pandemic.
Yeah. Sorry, we seem to have an interference on the line. Can you repeat your question? Hello?
Not a problem at all. I was just referencing a Business Day editorial just 2 days ago saying that lifting the state of disaster will be premature because the pandemic itself has so many uncertainties and South Africa has such a low vaccination base. So, you shouldn't rush into any kind of decision like this.
Yeah, and on the other hand, there are medical experts who are saying that the time has come. So that is a question of fact in relation to epidemiology, and you must get the epidemiologist to talk to you about that. I'm just a lawyer.
Right. A final one for you, advocate, and this one probably more up your alley. Two parts to this. The legal route that has been taken before against the national state of disaster hasn't seemed to be successful. There are appeals that are underway. Are you optimistic on that one? And secondly, for many South Africans, many of the restrictions don't exist anymore, even if they may be on paper. For ordinary South Africans to mobilize, if you'd like, against the state of disaster, what would be required if people, for the larger extent, are seeing that a sense of normality has been attained, regardless of what is there on paper?
Yes, dealing with the second question first, I think you're quite right that as a matter of practical lived reality, in particular in poorer areas, in informal settlements or crowded areas, rural areas, the pandemic has simply passed them all by. It's neither here nor there in real life. But in relation to the legal aspect of the matter, it is true that there are appeals pending, and we shall have to wait and see how the courts approach the issues that arise in those appeals. And I don't believe that the courts are going to condone the irrational extension of the state of disaster after its utility has been outlived, because the pandemic is not a new and disastrous event. It is an ongoing situation that needs to be dealt with within the framework of non-disaster law rather than disaster law.
I thank you so much for your time, and obviously talking about the time of the national state of disaster. Its time has certainly come, according to a variety of voices, and effective moves to be taken right now to avoid yet more increase of centralized control and evasion of accountability in South Africa. Advocate Paul Hoffman of Accountability Now, I thank you so much for your time, and have yourself a great week ahead.
Yeah, thank you very much. Thanks for the opportunity.